Now, Freedom Under Law has accused the Social Development Minister, Batabile Dlamini, of showing contempt for social grant recipients and the Constitutional Court. They were responding to a report by an expert panel appointed by the court to monitor the transition to a new social grant payment system, which criticized the decision to appoint the South African Post Office to take over payments of social grants. The panel revealed that SASSA has repeatedly failed to provide them with the information it requires in order to discharge its mandate. The executive director at Freedom Under Law, Nicole Fritz, joins me on the line to tell me what they plan next. Nicole, thank you so much for agreeing to come onto the show, and thanks for your time.
No, thanks, Karima. Thanks for having me on the show.
Now, of course, the court with the decision in many ways ring-fenced the department and put down quite clear indicators of what kind of information it wanted and by when it wanted it. When did you become aware, as Freedom Under Law, that the department was in fact, not complying with what the court had laid down? And why are you so concerned that we are heading for, potentially another crisis here?
So we became aware when we got hold of the expert panel report, and we received a copy late the week before last.
Yeah.
What the report makes clear, as you've indicated, is that they have been repeatedly denied the information that they require in order to discharge their mandate of reviewing, monitoring the transition to a new social grants payment system. As we know, the background to the story, of course, is that the contract that was awarded to CPS for the payment of social grants was declared unlawful and invalid in 2012. But the court suspended that declaration of invalidity because one couldn't countenance the idea that social grants wouldn't be paid. The effect of that would be calamitous.
Yeah.
But they were supposed to, come the expiry of that contract, what should have been put in place was either a proper tender process for the appointment of a new service provider, or what SASSA had indicated to the court was that they were actually going to insource the capacity to pay grants themselves. And they kept making these assurances that they would do so, and then at the 11th hour they said, actually, oops, no, we can't do that, so we're just going to have to extend the contract to CPS, which was the invalid contract. The court says the court is essentially placed over a barrel and says, well, there is no alternative. We can't countenance social grant payments not being made. So that is what's going to happen. But as you said, we're going to ring fence that. We're going to appoint this expert panel they need to review. But they're being frustrated. And it would seem that the report doesn't say this, but certainly if you read between the lines, they are being deliberately frustrated in discharging their mandate in that they're not being provided with the information. And I think what's so concerning for us is that time has now run out. It would seem, certainly at the time the expert report was written, no due diligence had been conducted in respect of the South African Post office, that no contract had even been put out in order to retain a service provider that could conduct that due diligence, which SASSA had said they would need to do.
Mm.
And not only has the due diligence not been done in respect of SAPO, as we understand at the time the expert report was done, but the gaps that might exist that in order to be filled would require the appointment of other service providers, no such identification has been made. And if those gaps exist and other service providers need to be appointed, times have now run out that you can't put in place a proper tender process that would allow for the appointment of such service providers before the expiry of the CPS contract on the 31st of March 2018. So we look like we're heading for the exact same situation that we saw earlier this year, and what the court was intending to avoid by the appointment of this expert panel.
Now, in an apology sent to the Social Development Committee and the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, SASSA's interim chief executive, Paul Bengu, said that there was no progress to report. She actually suggested that the agency rather meet with the committees in November. Do you buy that?
No, I mean, this is the thing, and this is what's not adding up. I mean, they're essentially saying that you know, what we know, at the time of the experts' reports, which was written and finalized in early September, no due diligence had been conducted in respect of SAPA. And there was various outstanding information that the National Treasury required in order to approve the deviation from ordinary tender processes in order to just make the assessment of SAPA. So if that due diligence has been conducted, if they have done this properly, and that defies credibility, they would have had to have worked day and night for the last 6 weeks. So they couldn't then be saying there's no progress to report. If they've done what they're indicating that they've done, I would imagine they would be shouting from the rooftops, look what we've been doing in the last 6 weeks in order to make sure that the service provider is, you know, has the capacity to do this properly.
What do you think is the motive here for this obfuscation and this trying to push it to November? I mean, the last time the minister kept on saying that she doesn't understand what Treasury's agenda is. And of course, we all knew that she essentially wanted to govern outside the boundaries of a constitutional framework. Do you think we're heading there again? And do you think it has to do with the fact that they believe that they have a more compliant Treasury now on their hands that won't necessarily hold the line insofar as it goes to upholding, you know, the Public Management Finance Act, and of course that will frown on things like deviations and other irregular expenditure.
Right. You know, Karima, I don't know what the motivations are. I mean, at the best case scenario is that we have, you know, really frightening levels of incompetence within SASA and the department, and in fact the expert report suggests that there is not the skill and the expertise to oversee a seamless transition. Worst case scenario, we're actually talking about malice. So you know, this process has been deliberately thwarted for ulterior purposes. But I wouldn't hazard a guess as to what those are.
Of course, my guest is the director of Freedom Under Law, Nicole Fritz. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I'm going to ask her what they plan to do next. On my program this evening, or as my guest tonight, Nicole Fritz, the executive director at Freedom Under Law, we're talking about what appears to be the same old behavior from the Social Development Department and, of course, the minister who is looking to be going the exact same route as we saw before the Constitutional Court actually ring-fenced the department and laid out very clearly what it expects the department to do to get an in-house grant payment system going. Now, Nicole, what struck me during that court case, of course, we had some of the best legal minds gathered making arguments for a range of organizations. It was Corruption Watch's lawyers who flagged the issue around, you know, what they look for when they look for indicators that wrongdoing is afoot and that malfeasance is potentially at play. And one of it is, of course, when you have a non-competitive bid in the sense that you only have one bidder for a contract. And in this case, of course, CPS. And the big issue here was biometrics, of course. And one would have to ask yourself, you know, for me, that was probably one of the most important issues that came out, that perhaps we should actually ask ourselves why there were so few companies that bid for this tender and whether CPS was, in fact, the candidate for which the bid was tailor-made. If one looks at how tender processes at places like Eskom and others were corrupted and effectively manipulated, if you look at the Gupta emails and the way in which, for example, Denal, you know, the board chair was talking to someone like Tony Gupta about how the tender needs to come in and so on, then that isn't something that one should ignore. Freedom Under Law, of course, watches these processes very carefully. Isn't it odd that it's only CPS that can fulfill all the criteria by the department?
Right. I mean, that obviously was very very odd that happened. And Corruption Watch obviously was to be applauded for flagging that came up in the Constitutional Court proceedings. But unfortunately, it wasn't the main focus of the proceedings, and the Constitutional Court was not able to I think give that a sufficient attention. What is interesting in the expert panel's report is that there is some, there is some suggestion that CPS is positioning itself, to rebid for this contract.
This is precisely why I am raising it, Nicole, because if one goes to motive, if the department says they want to meet in November because there's nothing to report, and you make the case that can't possibly be true, because if they were doing what the court had instructed them to do, they would have to be running themselves off their feet. They ought to be asking all manner of questions, and this just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And then, of course, one goes back to, the attempt by the minister when she set up those parallel work streams, which led to the former DG Zane Dango, in fact, resigning and her falling out with the previous head of SASSA. There's always been an attempt by the minister to get directly involved, to overstep. And this could, of course, be at play again, because it boggles the mind that they have nothing to report. They should be frantically busy and giving us constant updates.
Absolutely. And what we're seeing is a process that was intended to shine light on what was happening, to allow for transparency, because there has been such abuse of these processes, is now being frustrated. And whilst, the expert panel report says, we have been denied this information that has been essential to discharging our mandate. They don't go so far to saying that they're being deliberately frustrated. I think anyone reading that expert panel would have to conclude that they are being deliberately frustrated, and that there are all sorts of processes that are happening that actually need scrutiny and transparency and are not getting that.
Now, of course, the court appointed this expert panel because the court itself doesn't have the capacity to do all of these things. What are the options for organizations such as yourselves and others with vested interest in the fact that, of course, what happens here affects millions of people in the country? What do you do next? What is the recourse before we get to a situation where we sit on the eve of the deadline and we're exactly where we were before the judgment?
Well, the expert panel report concludes with a series of recommendations to the court. And I think that the court now needs to act on those recommendations. It has appointed this expert panel. They've come back. I mean, some of those are fairly extraordinary recommendations. It says the court needs to give consideration to actually appointing persons within SASSA in order to salvage this period before the expiry of the CPS contract. So parties such as ourselves, who were party to the original court process, need to urge the court to act in line with those recommendations. But there are other processes that we are considering at the moment, meeting with our lawyers to look at how we take forward that process.
What would they include, Nicole? Further litigation, for example?
Sorry?
Further litigation, for example, would that be one option?
Litigation, and actually, sort of pinpointing specific officials who bear responsibility. I mean, those are, issues that are being considered at this point in time. So no firm decisions have been made.
All right. Now, of course, you guys are not the only organization that's watching this. There's quite a few, and some specialist organizations.
Absolutely.
Such as your Black Sash. Are you meeting with them? Are you getting together to try and put your heads together to a collective response to try and, get some movement on the issue and, more importantly, get compliance with what the court had asked for?
So certainly, if there is any sort of further action taken, it would be far stronger for us to do that in collaboration. So yes.
All right, that's where we leave it. Thank you so very much. That is Nicole Fritz. She is the Executive Director at Freedom Under Law, and of course raising a very important question and raising the flag of worry and concern that the South African Social Security Agency, as well as the Social Development Department, did not pitch up for meetings they were supposed to attend to provide a status update on the takeover of social grants payments. Of course, the response from Paul Bengu, who is the interim chief executive at SASSA, is extremely worrying. She's asked for a postponement because she's saying there is nothing to report. We will, of course, try and get hold of Ms. Bengu to give us an explanation, because in real terms, the court has given them a lot to do. They should have plenty to report, and of course, they are obliged to do so. They have to work within that very strict parameters handed down by the court in that matter. And we will, of course, keep a very close eye on this because it affects millions of South Africans who rely on those social grants to, of course, mitigate very, very, deep inequality and poverty. So a lot of households dependent on those grants.